It's time for Northwestern Outdoors Radio, the show focusing on fishing, hunting, outdoor recreation, destinations, and conservation in the region where you live and play. Northwestern Outdoors is brought to you by Max Lure Company, Sportsman's Warehouse, and Wallowa County. And now, let's see what's going on in the field and on the water with your host, John Cruz.
The holiday season is upon us and a lot of craziness is in store as usual, but if you want to get away from it all for a few days, consider spending a couple of nights in a cabin or a yurt in a state park. I was checking availability of these accommodations around the Northwest for the first weekend of December, and I was amazed. There's a pet-friendly deluxe cabin available for rent that weekend in Idaho's Castle Rock State Parks. Three deluxe yurts with bathrooms, refrigerators, and microwaves can be rented at Umpqua Lighthouse State Park on the Oregon coast, and you can even rent a Victorian-era home, the Stewart's House, at Fort Columbia State Park near the mouth of the Columbia River in Washington. The opportunity to play outside during the day and then snuggle up warm in a heated and well-lit cabin or yurt at night, surrounded by Mother Nature, that sure sounds like a fun outing to me, and there are plenty of other cabin and yurt rentals available besides the ones I mentioned too. So check them out at one of our Northwest State Park websites and reserve a holiday season getaway today. This weekend on Northwestern Outdoors Radio, we've got another great slate of guests for you to include Ken McNaughton with the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. Ken is a disabled Air Force veteran who has a passion for making the outdoors more accessible to physically disabled folks with mobility issues. Ken's going to tell you about the great work their organization is doing building ADA-accessible hunting and wildlife viewing platforms at various locations around eastern Washington. Staying in eastern Washington, Bob Loomis is back for another extended Max Minute, and he'll be talking about Lake Roosevelt, a popular winter fishery for both quality rainbow trout and kokanee. Bob will give you some ideas about where to find the fish this winter and what to use to catch them from Max Lure. After we talk to Bob, we'll get a chance to visit with my friend Dennis Dauble. Dennis is a well-established outdoors writer with a column in several newspapers in eastern Oregon, and he's got a new book out, Chasing Ghost Trout, that looks like it will not only be a great read, but also a great gift for Christmas. Our final guest on today's show will be Sarah Dorenzo, the public information officer for Wyoming Game and Fish, who takes some time from deer and grouse hunting to share the latest hunting and conservation news from the Cowboy State. On top of all this, we'll be previewing our Christmas gift giveaway show that's only 2 weeks away, where you get the chance to potentially win a fabulous Christmas gift. And as always, we've got your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week, where you can win a $25 gift card from America's Premier Outfitter that will come in handy for those Black Friday sales. On that note, let's get things going and see what David Sparks has in store for us this week on Sportsman's Spotlight, brought to you by the Ag Information Network of the West.
SCI takes a stand against censorship of hunting. David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight. My good friend and longtime hunting partner Wayne Pearson told me not long ago that he had designed a terrific rifle and that it was being built by a reputable firm in Georgia. We decided to talk with a social media expert on the best way to put this rifle on several social media platforms. The expert said that things have tightened up dramatically in social media platforms and frown badly on putting weapon content on their platforms. And now I learned from a press release that Safari Club International has taken a stand against tech's censorship of hunting. Unfortunately, censorship of hunting-related content on social media is everywhere, and Safari Club International thinks it's time for hunters to stand up to the censorship by big tech. Big Tech's latest censorship attempt is occurring at YouTube, the world's largest video content media mogul, which has added new guidelines to its ad-friendly content guidelines. New restrictions on any picture or video showing an animal in distress caused by human action will censor content from a hunting channel and limit views. This move will demonize hunters, as taking away views will remove any chance of making ad revenue, the only way to make money from YouTube. Furthermore, these new guidelines will limit videos used to educate new hunters on safety and conservation issues. If you haven't already, now's the time to sign in to SCI's petition to stand up to big tech at safariclub.org/hunteradvocacyactioncenter. David Sparks, Sportsman Spotlight.
For many farmers, your biggest goal is to keep your farm in the family. Because that name on the mailbox means something to you. It's your family's legacy, heritage, and livelihood. At Country Financial, we get it. And we'll help you keep it there. It's never too early to prepare your farm for the future. So get started today and find a local rep at countryfinancial.com. Together, we can help you pass your family farm from one generation to the next. Farm policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
The best place to reach a farmer with a farming solution message is when they're, well, farming. It's easy to find them during the day as most farmers are behind the wheel of their pickup truck or farm equipment with the radio on, listening to this station for the Ag Information Network of the West News. So reach real farmers right here, right now, as they listen to what's important to their farm operation. Give us a call and we'll connect you with our local farming community. They trust us, so they'll trust you.
Enjoy a meal of wild Alaskan seafood delivered right to your door. Sina Sea offers premium quality wild Alaskan fish and shellfish to include Copper River King and Silver Salmon, Halibut, Black Cod, King Crab, and of course, Copper River Sockeye Salmon. Order it blast frozen or smoked and experience a slice of Alaska for a special meal you won't forget. Buy your seafood now at SenaSea.com. That's S-E-N-A-S-E-A, SenaSea.com.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. As a lot of you know, as listeners, I had a little bump in the road this summer. I was on a camping trip with my dog, and my dog was on the leash and jerked when I wasn't expecting it. And long story short, I broke my leg right above the ankle. And for the last part of about 3 months or so, I've really come to appreciate anything that is ADA accessible, whether it be handicapped parking spots or ramps you can use a scooter on or buttons that open doors. And when it comes to the outdoors, ADA accessible hunting blinds, fishing platforms, and more. And that's why we've got Ken McNaughton on the line. He's with the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. He's done a lot of work in this regard. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Before we talk about the ADA accessible work your organization is doing and that you're doing, let's talk a little bit about the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. I think most folks think of it as the organization that puts on the Bighorn Outdoor Adventure Show every March in Spokane.
Well, that's true. We do put on the Bighorn Show. A lot of people don't realize that we're the ones that do that. They know about the Wildlife Council. And they know about the Bighorn Show, but they don't know that we are the ones that put on the show because we have two different logos, and hopefully that'll all come together here soon. But we are the largest boots-on-the-ground, hands-on volunteer conservation organization in the entire state of Washington. We have some of the best volunteers that I've ever had the pleasure of working with. It's actually a family thing. There's lots of volunteer projects you can get. You can pick and choose what you want to be involved in, and you can do it as a family. In addition to committee I chair is Disabled Access, we have Backyard Habitat. We have Big Game Committee, Big Game Recovery Committee. That's separate from the Big Game Committee. The Big Game Recovery takes all salvageable roadkill, and we debone it and take it to the butcher shop, and it's all ground up into two-pound chubs and provided to the local food banks. We have Fishing Committee, Habitat Improvement, which is busy mostly in the spring and summer. Hunter Education, we put on 6 week-long classes every year at about 300 students total. And, of course, the Bighorn Show.
There's a lot going on with the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council, that's to be sure. Let's talk about the committee you chair, and that's the Disabled Access Committee. Why is this so important to you?
Well, I'm a disabled veteran, and I grew up on a farm in Michigan where I had access to a woodlot and cornfields, and that's where I learned how to hunt. And I had an accident in the Air Force that pretty much ended my career there. From that point on, it was difficult just to find a spot where I could fish, find a spot where I could hunt. And my accident was in 1980, and here we are, you know, 41 years later, and I still have mobility issues. I'm now 100% disabled vet, but it doesn't mean I can get close enough to the animals for successful hunting. When I first became a member of the Wildlife Council, I noticed that there was a Disabled Access Committee, and I thought, wow, that sounds like something I need to be involved in. And after 2 years, I became the chair of that committee, and I just thank God for the men who started that. I stand on their shoulders right now, because this whole dream of putting wheelchair platforms in places where guy would actually have a shot at a chance at shooting something, that just blew my mind that that opportunity even existed. So I've taken that, and we have built a number of additional wheelchair platforms.
Well, let me slow you down real quick, Ken. First off, I want to thank you for your service to our country, because there's fewer and fewer people that are stepping up to do that. And I'm sorry that that service resulted in you becoming physically disabled. But, you know, they say when one door closes, another one opens, and it's clear, listening to your passion, that the door that opened is you helping others who have mobility issues to get into the outdoors. Let's talk about some of these disabled access hunting platforms you've been able to build, and some of the other things you've been able to do for disabled outdoors enthusiasts, whether they be anglers or wildlife watchers or hunters. Where have some of these projects taken place?
Well, a lot of them are taking place inside Colville National Forest. We have two wheelchair platforms on Aladdin Mountain, one on Brewer Mountain, and one at a place called Squirrel Meadows off of Ruby Creek near the Pendere River. We have other areas that we've gone into, excluding Washington Department of Fish and Game wildlife areas, Rustler's Gulch and Sherman Creek. There's three platforms in those two areas, and we're putting one up on a private land for a veteran who takes care of disabled veterans.
Wow.
On his own ranch. Program called Stand Up. We're going to put one out there. It's near between Springfield and Ford, Washington. And then private timber companies, we have programs that involve the Inland Empire Paper Company as well as Hancock Forest Management. And for Hancock, we're putting one up about a place called Blanchard Hump. And that's a completely different area that we've never been into before, but it's not inside the National Forest. Regionally, it's still within the areas where Rustler's Gulch is. It's just on private land, and it gets a lot of visitation from disabled hunters. Hancock has made this open. They allow us to coordinate who gets in and out, but kind enough to open this up to disabled hunters several years ago, and we just kind of helped make it happen.
This is some fantastic work that you're doing, Ken. I presume that these hunting platforms for disabled hunters, that we're talking about turkey hunting and deer hunting here?
Yeah, whatever's open. I mean, these are ADA approved. The minimum size for a wheelchair platform is 5x6, according to ADA. These are 8x6, and it comes with a ramp. And the ramp meets all the specs as well, has handrails. A guy could literally just roll from his truck onto the ramp, onto the platform, and we've made sure we put these in places where there are already open shooting lanes. So all those locations I mentioned before, these guys can roll right up and go hunting, and whatever the game is, whatever season is.
I know for a fact we've got some people that are disabled listening today that are probably very interested in these opportunities. If they want to find out more about taking advantage of some of these hunting platforms that you and the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council have built, how do they find out more information about how to get onto those?
Well, they can contact the Wildlife Council directly, 509-487-8552. They can go to our website, that's wildlifecouncil.com, or they can email me at inwc.ada@gmail.com.
All right. Hopefully you got that, folks. If you didn't, just go to wildlifecouncil.com. That's the website for the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council. Got just a minute left. Let's talk about the Bighorn Outdoor Adventure Show. It is that big sportsman show. It takes place in Spokane at the Interstate Fairgrounds every year. For 2022, it's March 17th through the 20th. Anything new this year?
Oh, yeah. Bighorn's always a lot of fun. And if you've been to it before, it's even more fun serving at it. There's lots of places to volunteer. This is our third attempt at our 60th show because COVID shut down the last 2 years.
Yes, it did.
But we have incredible amount of vendors there. We're going to have musical entertainment one night, seminars on fishing, big game calling. Myself and another partner are going to actually provide a couple of ADA seminars at the show. And one's going to be on cooking. And it's March 17th to 20th. At Spokane Interstate Fairgrounds.
All right. Well, mark your calendars for that, folks. And again, if you are a disabled hunter or maybe a wildlife watcher, or you know someone who is, who wants to take advantage of some of these disabled access hunting platforms in eastern Washington. Contact the Inland Northwest Wildlife Council and find out more information about how you can take advantage of those. Ken, thanks for the work you're doing, and thanks for joining us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thanks for having me.
By the way, the state of Washington also has a robust program when it comes to ADA accessible outdoors recreation. We're talking not just the hunting platforms you heard about, but also waterfowl hunting blinds, wildlife watching blinds, fishing platforms, ADA accessible piers, lots of paths and trails in state parks, and a whole lot more. One place to find out about this is the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife website. When you get there, just look at the far right corner of the top page. You'll see a tab that says Civil Rights Accessibility. Click on that and look for the link that'll get you more information about ADA accessible outdoors in the Evergreen State. You should also check your state fish and game website too to find similar information. The bottom line is this: even though you might have mobility issues, the outdoors is waiting for you, and there's places where you can enjoy it.
From a bull elk ripping a bugle across the valley to wing beats on a duck marsh, public lands and waters are integral to our outdoor heritage. Become a member of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers and stand up for our public lands and waters. Visit backcountryhunters.org today.
You're back with more of the great outdoors on Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
You know what time it is. It's time for another Extended Max Minute with Max Luer. And with us again is Bob Loomis. Bob, let's talk about Lake Roosevelt. It's that huge 100-plus mile impoundment of the Columbia River in northeast Washington. And when the weather gets cold, the trout bite and kokanee bite really gets going there. What are people using to catch those fish in the winter months?
Well, John, trolling for trout, trolling for kokanee, either way, you're roughly doing the same thing. You're pulling some type of attractor, some type of lure. Things that work very, very well up there during the winter months, using a sling blade dodger, you know, let's direct it more at trout right now. You're using a sling blade, you're pulling it a little bit faster. So the sling blade handles that speed a little bit better than a double D. And fishing stuff like a peewee hoochie or even a coconut glow, which is like a, almost like a fly. They work tremendously well for attracting and catching those rainbows up there.
Interesting, because I mean, the coconut, like you said, and the peewee hoochie, I've always associated those as kokanee lures, not specifically trout lures.
Well, you know what? Enough people are up there trolling for kokanee, the trout, they got to eat something.
Good point. Another question that I'm sure some of our listeners would like to ask. I mean, it's a really big lake. Generally speaking, where are the best trout and kokanee locations?
Well, the kokanee doesn't really get going. I mean, you can catch fish now, but once they drop that lake level down, those fish are going to congregate in certain areas. When they start bringing the water up, it flushes most of the food downhill, and, you know, fishing the lower end of the impoundment works better for the kokanee. The trout, they're all over the reservoir. There isn't any one place that is not any better than another. You can literally go from one end to the other end and do extremely well on trout.
Well, there you go. A little primer on fishing Lake Roosevelt this winter for both trout and kokanee. Now you know what to use from Max Luer.
The Sling Blade is Max Luer Company's latest dodger for you to use. Lance Burns is with us from Max Luer Company to tell you more about it. Why are you so excited about the Sling Blade?
Versatility, John. You can bend the Sling Blade and change it from a reactionary bite to a normal bite, and it's got so many possibilities.
Not only that, it comes in different sizes. You can use the Sling Blade for everything from trout and kokanee all the way to ocean-going salmon. It's the Sling Blade. Look for it at maxluer.com.
If your favorite season is deer, if your favorite salad is meat salad, if your favorite gifts come wrapped in fur or scales, if you're dreaming of a white and camo Christmas, then you'd fit right in at Sportsman's Warehouse. And lucky for you, Sportsman's is offering amazing deals all season long. So visit your local store or go online to sportsmans.com and gear up for an unforgettable holiday.
From a bull elk ripping a bugle across the valley to wing beats on a duck marsh, public lands and waters are integral to our outdoor heritage. Become a member of Backcountry Hunters and Anglers and stand up for our public lands and waters. Visit backcountryhunters.org today.
Well, I'll take you, you take me back. Let's put pennies on a railroad track. Fireflies in a mason jar. Hide and seek. There you are, just a boy back then. I didn't know anything.
Welcome back to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got Dennis Dobble on the line. He lives in southeastern Washington. He is a book author and also a columnist who writes for the East Oregonian and the Le Grand Observer, among other papers. Dennis, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you back. I seem to have you on every time you come out with a new book, and you're always seeming to come out with new books. Your latest one, Chasing Ghost Trout. Is this like a late Halloween edition or what?
I hadn't thought of that. No, I consider the title a metaphor for my Grandpa Harry's Willow Creel and the memories that are held within.
This is not exactly a collection of fish stories like some of your other books, is it?
No, it's a little bit different. The other books were stories about fish and fishing. They weren't a how-to or where-to books. And then this one, even though it has fishing stories, it's really more about the family and love of nature, how it can carry you through obstacles of life. So I call it my fishing memoir.
Your stomping ground is the Blue Mountains, and that figures pretty prominently in this book, doesn't it?
Yeah, I grew up in the foothills of the Blue Mountains, and when I want to find a place to go fish, then I head into the tributaries.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute, but let's talk about some of the stories that are in there. Some of them, like you said, are about family, and I presume one of them is about your grandfather.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, and I guess the thread to the story is my grandfather's ranchero. So he had a 65 Falcon ranchero, and that's what carries the storyline.
Go on. Tell us more.
Well, I guess the memories for that have to do with how Grandpa Harry drove that ranchero and how much fun it was to be with him when he slid around corners and stomped on the gas. And but his driving days ended when he T-boned somebody on the way to the bowling alley, therefore passing the ranchero back on to my family. And that became then, I guess, four of the five family members. We drove it to college back and forth. And then I ended up transporting my grandfather fishing in it for several years until he passed away. Kept the car, passed it on down to my two children, and then later ended up selling it to somebody who wanted a 65 ranchero. So really the story is about the fishing trips, and then there's a chapter also about the selling of a beloved vehicle.
Now, you've got a cabin on a river, and I know you've had some issues with that cabin flooding. Is that also covered in your book?
I didn't deal with the flooding of the cabin in this book, and I guess there has to be an explanation. So I started this book over 10 years ago, parts of it, and then it morphed over time, and some of it morphed as I wrote other books and maybe would pull a chapter out. But in the beginning, but what happened is a lot of things happened in my life, and including being diagnosed with prostate cancer and then the passing of some family members. So these things, it's kind of like, okay, so you have this memoir up until some point in time, you know, nothing's really happened to your life that's interesting, and then all of a sudden, all kinds of things happen to your life. So I had to decide when to cut it off. So I actually did not include the part about the cabin getting almost destroyed by the flood and then the year and a half that it took to rebuild it.
And that cabin, is it on the Tucannon River?
No, it's on the Umatilla River. So it's upstream of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, so between the Umatilla Indian Reservation and a Forest Service boundary.
You're listening to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We're talking to Dennis Dobble about his new book, Chasing Ghost Trout. It's a fishing memoir, so to speak, with stories, as you've just heard, not always about fishing, but you do cover fishing too. And I'm assuming that some of the fishing you cover is for the steelhead that you love to chase in tributaries of the Snake River.
Yeah, steelhead is, and actually there's a chapter in the book about my first steelhead. and I call it my collection plate steelhead because I prayed to catch it. And then I was excused from Sunday school and church, which is what I went to for many years, but I was excused by my mother to go steelhead fishing.
I love that. Absolutely love that. How many days a year do you spend steelhead fishing on average?
I usually get geared up and fish in the Hanford Reach when it opens on October 1 and take my spay rod out on the reach. And then once we get a little bit of water into the tributaries, and I hit the tributaries, and I like to fish the Walwal and the Toucannon River. Those are my two favorite ones that are close by, but they are both closed this year.
Right. And we are dealing with literally a horrific return of steelhead this year, the lowest count over Bonneville Dam since 1938, since they started keeping track of how many steelhead were coming over the dam. You know, you've got a strong background in fisheries biology. What are your thoughts on how we turn this around with the steelhead?
Well, my main concern for steelhead is the loss of available stream habitat, because steelhead are just seagoing rainbow trout, and that's where they spawn and rear in tributary streams of the Columbia and the Snake River Basin. So there's different things going on there that really has to do with irrigation diversions, water withdrawal, issues with culverts, and it doesn't take much to go back in time and look at the history and see that some of these creeks were once excellent trout streams and now are obstructed. And what that means is that, you know, steelhead just don't have a place to go. I think for many years, the wild steelhead runs, the status of them was masked by hatchery releases.
Right.
So we felt like steelhead were in good shape because there are plenty out there to catch. But once management agencies have tried to go to a more of a wild steelhead management scheme and fewer hatchery plantings, then now we're just kind of seeing what's really there.
Dennis, I completely get it when it comes to the habitat loss as being an issue. But the big thing we're hearing in the news today is whether or not we should remove the four lower Snake River dams. Do you think this is the silver bullet that could save steelhead?
I don't think it's the silver bullet, but it's one element of the challenge that steelhead place. And of all the Pacific salmon and the Pacific trout, of which steelhead are the Pacific trout, steelhead are more likely to benefit from dam removal than any of the salmon species, because we're talking upriver fish and the distance that they have to travel and where they are, if you will, almost on the brink, I think, of survival in the upper Snake River system.
Well, I am hopeful, not optimistic, but I am hopeful that fisheries managers and politicians can get together and turn this around, because there's few things more iconic in the Northwest than those beautiful steelhead we both love to go after and to see and do well. Back to your book, Chasing Ghost Trout. It is the holiday season. It seems to me this would be a great read for the holidays and a great gift. How can folks get a copy of this brand new book?
So the book now is available at Amazon.com. And shortly, I will have hard copies in hand and be able to mail them out to people that want a signed copy via my website, DennisDobbleBooks.com. So right now, I'm just waiting to get a box of books on my front porch.
Having written one book, not the five that Dennis has written, I can tell you that one of the best gifts that you can give is a signed copy of a book. People really appreciate that. So if you want a copy of Dennis's latest book, a fishing memoir called Chasing Ghost Trout, Dennis is an excellent writer. He knows how to tell a great story. Go to Amazon.com if you want instant gratification, or if you want that signed copy, Dennis Dobble, Dobble spelled D-A-U-B-L-E, books.com. That's Dennis Dobble, books.com for Chasing Ghost Trout. It'll be a great winter read for yourself or a great gift for somebody else. Dennis, congratulations on the latest book, and thanks for sharing the details with us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thank you, John.
Tomorrow is yesterday. Well, I'll tag you. Tag me back. Let's put pennies on a railroad track. Fireflies in a mason jar. Hide and seek. There you are.
Located in the northeast corner of Oregon, Wallowa County offers a unique destination rich in natural beauty and outdoors recreation. Enjoy the clear waters of Wallowa Lake. Take a tram to the top of Mount Howard for million-dollar views. Hike or ride into the Eagle Cap Wilderness and fish or raft the Wallowa and Grand Ronde Rivers. It's all waiting for you in beautiful Wallowa County. Plan your visit today at WallowaCountyChamber.com. That's WallowaCountyChamber.com.
You're back in with Northwestern Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're checking in with Sarah Dorenzo. She's the public information officer for Wyoming Game and Fish because there's a lot of news coming out of Wyoming this month. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with kind of a downer topic, chronic wasting disease. I understand it's been found in a new area in elk, and you're trying to get a handle on how prevalent this is. Tell our listeners more about this situation.
Sure. So every year, the Wyoming Game and Fish Department monitors for chronic wasting disease. We've been doing this for almost 40 years now. And so every year we ask for hunters to submit lymph node samples from their harvested elk and deer. And we have specific areas that we're requesting samples from this year, and we have some areas that it's mandatory to submit a sample. We did find this year so far, we've identified chronic wasting disease in four new elk hunt areas, and those are areas 36, 41, 98, and 129, and also in two new deer hunt areas, 144 and 148.
Hold on, let's slow down. So for all of us who are unfamiliar what those numbers mean in terms of location, can you give us a region of the state?
Sure. So actually all over the state. Some of those are up in the Cody region, some are in the Sheridan area, and some are just south of Pinedale.
All right. Now, you actually have an incentive program for hunters to submit those lymph nodes for CWD testing, don't you?
We do. Anybody who submits a testable sample, so one that we can actually get into the lab and get a result from, are entered in to win a prize. If you enter a lymph node sample from one of our targeted hunt areas, you get entered in for some really great prizes, including rifles, scopes, and a lot of really nice hunting clothing. And then if you submit a CWD sample from any hunt area, you also have a chance to win prizes of a rifle, some binos, and a backpack.
Sounds like a very good reason to submit to me. Speaking of information you're looking for beyond CWD monitoring, let's talk about the Hunter Harvest Survey. Why is this important to submit, and are there any penalties if you don't submit it?
Sure. So every year, just like CWD sampling, we ask for information from hunters on how their hunt went over the year. We have a hunter harvest survey for just about every species that is huntable out there. And the information from hunters is invaluable, and the hunter harvest survey is the best way to gather the large amount of data that we need from the public. And we use this information in turn to help tell you more about harvest success, hunter effort, and, you know, how good your hunt was. And so this information is really important to us, valuable for monitoring populations, setting future hunting seasons, and other regulations. It's not required for you to respond to the Hunter Harvest Survey, but if you get one, it's super important that you fill it out because it does help inform the next hunting season, and in turn, some of those decisions will ultimately impact hunters. And so this is one way for you to give us some information that helps us improve our hunting season.
All right. Lots of good reasons to fill out that survey there. Again, folks, you're listening to Northwestern Outdoors Radio. We're checking in with Sarah Dorenzo, the Public Information Officer for the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. And we're running through some news stories that have come out of their agency. The next one, Table Mountain Wildlife Habitat Management Area. It's an area that's well known for waterfowl hunting, but that nasty drought this summer has really impacted that, hasn't it?
It has, and lots of waterfowl hunters have probably noticed the lack of water in the ponds around Table Mountain if they've headed out there. And unfortunately, there just isn't very much water available to fill these ponds, and so it does present some challenging conditions for waterfowl hunters. And like you said, John, this is drought-related. We've had 3 years of significant drought in this part of Wyoming, and there's just simply no water available. We're doing everything we can to get some water into those ponds from our resources, but there's just not very much available.
No, I get it. The area I hunt, the Columbia Basin in eastern Washington, the ponds that I've hunted for years were bone dry this year. It's just the way it is. It's this drought. Hopefully, we are going to be recovering from it in the year ahead. Last topic I'd like to ask you about. You've been trapping some beavers and relocating them up in northern Wyoming. I'm curious about this because, you know, I know a game warden who worked back in the 90s, and back then when they had a problem beaver, they would take it somewhere and shoot it, but that's not happening anymore. Why is that?
Well, sometimes when beavers are in conflict, there is an opportunity to just relocate the beaver, especially if they're a small family of beavers. They can be relocated to places where their talents can be better utilized. And so they have a lot of riparian benefits just based on what they can do for damming up water. And when you can take the beaver's talents and put them in a place where they're going to benefit habitat, that's really good. And so by, you know, what beavers naturally do, building those dams can help elevate the local water table, extend late season streams, increase flooding in areas where we want it. And that helps with lots of vegetation that grows along the stream. So that's all really good. If we can get beavers doing that work in the right place, then they can be really productive.
You know, it's interesting how the evolution of understanding the benefits and detriments of what a beaver can do. So nice to hear they are doing some useful work if they're in the right place to do so.
Yeah, and you don't even have to pay them. They're very cost effective for the work that they do. And so that's great too.
It is. And if you're a bass angler, folks, you know as well as I do that anytime you find a beaver hut, you're probably going to find some bass. Last but not least, is there any news story you want to cover and get out there before we go?
Sure. So over the fishing season this last year, we had 7 people who achieved ultimate angler status. And that means that they've caught 10 different species of trophy-sized fish in Wyoming. And so that's sort of the highest fishing recognition that someone can earn in Wyoming. And that's super exciting that we had 7 people over the fishing season accomplish that. And those trophy-sized fish represent the top 5% of fish in Wyoming. And so there is a lot of big fish in Wyoming still.
So we're not just talking trout here. We're also talking like walleye, bass, and pike.
You bet. Yeah, any game species is included. It's 24 different species of fish in Wyoming. And yeah, these 7 folk from across Wyoming caught 10 different game fish of trophy size.
Well, obviously, folks can find out more about this at the Wyoming Game and Fish website, as well as all the other stories we've covered, too. Just go to the news tab when you get there, and we're not going to make you write down the website. Just Google Wyoming Game and Fish. You're going to get there in a hurry. Check out what's going on in the Cowboy State, because there's always a lot going on when it comes to the outdoors there. Sarah, thanks as always for sharing this with us today on Northwestern Outdoors Radio.
Thank you.
The holiday season starts this week, and I'm guessing you'll either be hosting a party or going to one or two in the weeks ahead. Now, if you want to make a great impression on your guests and fellow partygoers, serve them some wild-caught Alaskan seafood from Sena Sea. One crowd pleaser is their smoked Copper River sockeye salmon spread. We are literally talking about the most famous and sought after salmon in the world, smoked and packaged as a spread for you. I went through a container of this last week, and I've got to tell you, it is absolutely delicious. Not only does Sena Sea offer smoked salmon spread, but they also offer smoked halibut spread and smoked black cod spread too. Put these three out along with some fancy crackers or bagels at the table, and your appetizer will be the big hit of the party. Check out the smoked salmon, halibut, and black cod spreads, as well as other smoked salmon and wild-caught Alaskan seafood at SenaSea.com, and get a carefully packaged taste of Alaska delivered to your door so you can share it this holiday season. That website again, Sena Sea, spelled SenaSea.com. Stick around, we've got more of the outdoors coming your way, including a preview of our annual Christmas gift giveaway show and our ever popular Sportsman's Warehouse trivia question of the week. Enjoy a meal of wild Alaskan seafood delivered right to your door. Sina Sea offers premium quality wild Alaskan fish and shellfish to include Copper River King and Silver Salmon, Halibut, Black Cod, King Crab, and of course, Copper River Sockeye Salmon. Order it blast frozen or smoked and experience a slice of Alaska for a special meal you won't forget. Buy your seafood now at SenaSea.com. That's S-E-N-A-S-E-A, SenaSea.com.
Wake up to winter in Wallowa County. Grab your camera and don your skis for some Nordic skiing adventure at Salt Creek Summit or Wallowa Lake. Or spend the day on the family-friendly slopes of Fergie Ridge. Or slip into a set of skates and enjoy some time on the ice at our outdoor ice rink. Need to warm up? Then grab a cup of coffee or hot chocolate at one of our fine coffee and confectionery shops. And when evening comes, enjoy some of Wallowa County's fine dining and gaze at the stars before you dream of tomorrow's adventures. Your winter adventure begins at www.wallowacountychamber.com.
If your favorite season is deer, if your favorite salad is meat salad, if your favorite gifts come wrapped in fur or scales, if you're dreaming of a white and camo Christmas, then you'd fit right in at Sportsman's Warehouse. And lucky for you, Sportsman's is offering amazing deals all season long. So visit your local store or go online to sportsmans.com and gear up for an unforgettable holiday.
We've got time for one more shot of Northwestern Outdoors Radio with John Cruz.
Welcome back. I want to give you a heads up that our annual Christmas gift giveaway show is coming up the first weekend of December, not only on this show, but also on our sister show, America Outdoors Radio. And as always, we are going to be giving away a bunch of great gifts to our listeners. This is far and away our most popular show of the year. And between the two programs, we'll work on giving away 12 gifts of Christmas. If you want to win one, here's what you do. Simply listen to the show, hear about all the gifts we're giving away, and then shoot us an email through our website at northwesternoutdoors.com or go to our Facebook page at Northwestern Outdoors Radio. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll want to like and follow the page first, then go to the post thread where we are doing the giveaway and let us know what one gift you want for Christmas. You only get to ask for one gift, and strategy is important here because there are certain gifts worth a lot of money that everyone will be asking for, but there's some hidden gems that only a few folks will be asking for, and since we only draw one winner per gift, you might have a better shot at one of these presents. So far, we've got gifts lined up from our friends at Sportsman's Warehouse, Sina Sea Seafoods, Max Lure, Deep Timber Calls, and of course, Worksharp Tools, which tends to give us one of the most sought-after gifts by listeners every Christmas. As for our giveaway on America Outdoors Radio, it works exactly the same. And yes, you can ask for a gift from both shows. The Facebook page to like and follow for that giveaway is America Outdoors Radio, and the website to send emails through is AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. We've got some great sponsors with gifts lined up for that show, too, to include a separate gift from Worksharp, another gift from Sina Sea Seafoods, and something very special from our friends at Camp Chef. So, like and follow those Facebook pages today and preview some of the gifts we'll be giving away in the days ahead. And now it's time for your Sportsman's Warehouse Trivia Question of the Week. Thanksgiving is coming up on Thursday, and I thought we'd go back in time to that first Thanksgiving, a three-day feast shared by pilgrims and Native Americans at Plymouth Rock in 1621. Now, everyone associates turkey with Thanksgiving, but there was another meat served in abundance during that first Thanksgiving. Here's your question. Did that other meat dish feature bison, domestic cattle, or deer? If you think you know the answer, you know what to do. Go to our Northwestern Outdoors Radio Facebook page, look for the post thread where we've got the question, and give us your answer there. If you don't do Facebook, again, just go to our website at northwesternoutdoors.com, shoot us an email, and let us know what the other meat was they enjoyed on that first Thanksgiving in abundance. Was it bison, domestic cattle, or deer? One lucky person who guesses right won't win fresh meat, but they will win a $25 gift card from Sportsman's Warehouse, which will come in awfully handy this holiday season. We've got to wrap things up, but I do hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving and that you'll be surrounded by family and friends and those that you love. Until next time, do take care, God bless, and make it a point to spend some time outdoors.